A Little Princess by Frances Hodgson Burnett. 1. Sarah. Once, on a dark winter day, a little girl sat with her father in a cab, which was slowly driving along the streets of London. She sat looking out of the window at the passing people with her big, serious eyes. It was an odd look for such a little girl, because Sarah Crewe was only 7. But she was an unusual girl, and she was always dreaming and thinking things about grown-up people and the world they belonged to. At this moment, she was remembering the voyage she had just made from Bombay with her father, Captain Crewe. She was thinking of the big ship and of the children playing about on the hot deck. She moved closer to her father. "Papa," she said in a low, mysterious little voice, which was almost a whisper. "Papa." "What is it, darling?" Captain Crewe answered, looking down into her face. "What is Sarah thinking of?"
"Is this the place?" Sarah whispered.
"Yes, little Sarah, it is. We have reached it at last." And though she was only 7 years old, she knew that he felt sad when he said it. Her mother had died when she was born. Her young, handsome, rich, loving father was the only relation she had in the world. They had always played together and been fond of each other. Only one thing had troubled her: the place she was to be taken to someday. The climate in India was very bad for children, and as soon as possible, they were sent away from it, generally to England and to school. Though her father's stories of the voyage and the new country had attracted Sarah, she did not like the thought that he could not stay with her. "Couldn't you go to that place with me, Papa?" she asked when she was 5 years old. "Couldn't you go to school too? I would help you with your lessons." "But you will not stay there for a very long time, little Sarah," he had always said. "You will go to a nice house, where there will be a lot of little girls, and you will play together, and I will send you books, and you will grow so fast and become big enough and clever enough to come back and take care of Papa." She liked this idea. She wanted to stay with her father, to ride with him, and sit at the head of his table when he had dinner parties, to talk to him and read his books. She did not care very much for other little girls, but she liked books more than anything else, and was, in fact, always inventing stories of beautiful things and telling them to herself. Sometimes she had told them to her father, and he had liked them as much as she did. "Well, Papa," she said softly, "if we are here, we must do it." He kissed her. He was also very sad, though he knew he must keep that a secret. He didn't want to part with his little Sarah, so he held her very closely in his arm as the cab rolled into the big square in which stood the big brick house. On the front door there was a brass plate with black letters: "Miss Minchin, Select Seminary for Young Ladies." "Here we are, Sarah," said Captain Crewe, making his voice sound as cheerful as possible. Then he lifted her out of the cab, and they rang the bell. Sarah often thought afterwards that the house was somehow exactly like Miss Minchin. It was respectable, but everything in it was ugly. The furniture was hard and polished, the chairs were square, armchairs were heavy and uncomfortable. Sarah did not like the place at once. Miss Minchin entered the room. She was very like her house, Sarah felt, tall and dull, and respectable and ugly. She had large, cold eyes and a large, cold smile. She knew from the lady who had recommended her school to Captain Crewe that he was a rich father who was ready to spend a great deal of money on his little daughter. It will be a great privilege to have such a beautiful and promising child, Captain Crewe," she said, taking Sarah's hand. "Lady Meredith has told me of her unusual cleverness. A clever child is a great treasure in a school like mine." Sarah stood quietly, looking at Miss Minchin's face. She was thinking something odd as usual. "Why does she say I am a beautiful child?" she was thinking. "I am not beautiful at all. Colonel Grange's little girl, Isabel, is beautiful. She has dimples and rose-colored cheeks, and long hair the color of gold. I have short black hair and green eyes, and I am thin. I am one of the ugliest children I ever saw." She is telling a story. She was mistaken, however, in thinking she was an ugly child. She was not like Isabel Grange, but she had charm of her own. She was a thin creature, rather tall for her age, and had an attractive little face. Her hair was heavy and black, and only curled at the tips. Her eyes were greenish-gray, it is true, but they were big, wonderful eyes with long, black lashes. And though she herself did not like the color of them, many other people did. Later, Sarah discovered that Miss Minchin said the same thing to each papa and mama who brought a child to her school. Sarah stood near her father and listened while he and Miss Minchin talked. She had been brought to the seminary because Lady Meredith's two little girls had been educated there, and Captain Crewe had a great respect for Lady Meredith's experience. "I am not worried about her education," Captain Crewe said, with his gay laugh, as he held Sarah's hand. "The difficulty will be to keep her from learning too fast and too much. She is always sitting with a book. She wants grown-up books, great big fat ones, French and German as well as English, history and biography and poets and all sorts of things. Drag her away from her books when she reads too much. Make her ride her pony or go out and buy a new doll. She ought to play more with dolls." "Papa," said Sarah, "I can't have many dolls. Dolls ought to be intimate friends. Emily is going to be my intimate friend." Captain Crewe looked at Miss Minchin, and Miss Minchin looked at Captain Crewe. "Who is Emily?" she asked. "Tell her, Sarah," Captain Crewe said, smiling. Sarah's gray-green eyes looked very serious as she answered. "She is a doll I haven't got yet," she said. "She is a doll Papa is going to buy for me. We will go together to find her. I have called her Emily. She is going to be my friend when Papa is gone. I want her to talk to about him." "What an original child," said Miss Minchin. "What a darling little girl." "Yes," said Captain Crewe. "She is a darling little girl. Take great care of her for me, Miss Minchin." Sarah stayed with her father at his hotel for several days until he sailed away again to India. They visited many big shops together and bought many things. They bought, indeed, many more things than Sarah needed. Captain Crewe wanted his little girl to have everything she admired and everything he admired himself. So they collected a wardrobe much too big for a child of seven. Dresses, hats, coats, gloves and handkerchiefs and silk stockings. And at last they found Emily. Sarah saw her in a small shop. "Oh, Papa," she cried, "there is Emily. I knew her the minute I saw her. So perhaps she knew me, too." Perhaps she had known her. She had certainly a very intelligent expression in her eyes when Sarah took her in her arms. She was a large doll, but not too large. She had naturally curling golden brown hair, and her eyes were clear, gray-blue, with soft, thick eyelashes. "Of course," said Sarah, looking into her face as she held her on her knee. "Of course, Papa, this is Emily." So they bought Emily and a wardrobe as big as Sarah's own. The next day, Captain Crewe took her to Miss Minchin's and left her there. He explained to Miss Minchin that his lawyers would give her any advice she wanted, and that they would pay the bills for Sarah's expenses. Then he went with Sarah into her little sitting room to say to her goodbye. Sarah sat on his knee and looked long at his face. "Are you learning me by heart, little Sarah?" he said. "No," she answered. "I know you by heart. You are inside my heart." And they put their arms around each other and kissed. When the cab drove away from the door, Sarah was sitting on the floor of her sitting room with her hands under her chin and her eyes following it until it had turned the corner of the square. Emily was sitting by her. When Miss Minchin sent her sister, Miss Amelia, to see what the child was doing, she found she could not open the door. "I have locked it," said a polite little voice from inside. "I want to be by myself, if you please." Miss Amelia was a fat woman. She was really the better person of the two, but she never disobeyed Miss Minchin. She went downstairs again, looking almost alarmed. "I never saw such a funny, old-fashioned child, sister," she said. "She has locked herself in, and she is not making any noise." "It is much better than if she kicked and screamed, as some of them do," Miss Minchin answered. "I saw her clothes," said Miss Amelia. "What do you think of them?" "I think they are perfectly ridiculous," replied Miss Minchin sharply, "but they will look very well at the head of the line when we take the school children to church on Sunday. She will look like a little princess."